thank everybody for coming again to the meeting tonight. We'll just read tonight one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, start at verse 1 there. You don't even have to open your Bibles tonight. I made it quite simple because the verse is right behind me. So we try to preach about 104 messages a year, give or take 40 maybe. And each night we would seek to proclaim what is right behind me. It's already been stated by Andrew, and something I'd like to preach on tonight. It's called the gospel. So the gospel is good news. It's the greatest news. And I was looking in the meeting tonight. You don't have to turn around. I know everybody in the meeting tonight. Some of you I teach Sunday school to. Some of you I've been to your house. Some of you I've known since I was a kid. You've probably known me since I was born. But some of you aren't saved. Some of you don't know the gospel. You say, well, it's not me. Maybe, I don't know who. I'm not going to point out people in the meeting. Some of you aren't saved, and you don't know the gospel. And tonight, we would seek to preach the gospel, because it's good news, and it's only through that you're going to be saved. I think more importantly, that we often speak of faith, and people think of blind faith. They think of coming to the edge of the platform, and an individual standing here, and us, you're falling back. And maybe someone grabs me. That's faith, people tell you. That's blind faith. Tell you something, I wouldn't pay 5 cents for that. I don't know who you are going to catch me down there. Definitely wouldn't trust Ben or Joe. No, I'm not going to trust you guys. What we preach tonight is facts. Facts that have proof that either you choose to believe them or you choose to reject them. But don't go away thinking that what we've preached tonight was myth, or maybe it was fables. What does Peter say in his letter? He says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. But what we preach tonight are facts that have proof. It's the gospel. Now you turn right here, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. Just move down there to verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's the fact. You say, what's the proof? Go to the next verse. He was buried. And that he rose again. That's a fact. Where's the proof? Unfortunately, our verse here stopped short. I looked at the bolts there. They're for Philip's head, but I can't take it off again. It's a good track. It's a good text up there. But it ends short of the fact and the proof. What's the proof that he rose again? He was seen. He was seen of over 500 men. They're facts. It's 2,000 years since it happened. Men will deny it. Men will reject it. But they won't ever prove it to be wrong. It's a fact. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. He was seen. If you go to school tomorrow and some kid comes into school and he says, you know, my father, he drives a Ferrari. You say, prove it, right? That's what you should say to him. Me and my brother Andrew always had dreams of taking a helicopter to school somehow. We were way out there, you know? But if I come to school and I said, oh, you know, I got my chopper parked in the back, prove it. That's what you say, don't you? I think kids say that still. When someone comes up with something obscene, you say, prove it. You think, what are some proofs that we have in our life? You know, people might tell you, I purchased something. You say, prove it. They show you a receipt. So here it is. Here's the receipt. Men might say, I'm wealthy. I'm rich. You don't pull dollar bills out of your pockets to show someone you're rich. Maybe you pull hundreds out. That might be proof. Or there are some things that we think, you know, you just can't prove those things. You say, are you a good driver? Yeah, I got a license. No. I got a license. You come drive with me. I'll disprove that pretty quick. You know, you're a good driver. So there are things that we think, oh, maybe you can prove some things, maybe you can't. Are you alive? Yes, I have a birth certificate. You know, sometimes we doubt. You know, your eyes, you go in and out. No, there are proofs for things in life. And sometimes it comes to religious things and we think, oh, that's a different category, you know? That's something completely different. Those are things that, well, you believe that. That's good for you, but not for me. Well, what we've opened tonight is the Word of God. It's facts. There's proof. And what is at stake this evening is whether or not you believe the facts. You can choose to disbelieve them. You can choose to reject them, as you could any other facts. But there's something at stake here, because what's at stake is heaven or hell, is life or death, is salvation or an eternity spent separated from God. So it's an important fact that's being presented tonight, the gospel. Think of what we read there when we read Christ died for sins. You know, Job is mentioned in his book. He says, "Oh, that I might know where I might find him, might find God." Some people are searching for God next week. I think I was. I always was searching for God a Sunday from tonight. It was sometime in the future. And some people are always searching for a teacher or someone to help them along the way, or a comfort. Or they're looking for God in what they think to be the right places. They're looking for God in a feeling. Maybe you're looking for God in a feeling. You're thinking, hey, I'll find God just if I can feel good about it. Or I'll find God if everybody else thinks I have. The only people who find God are people who are sinners. Because God is presented to individuals tonight as a Savior. A Savior is presented to those who are sinners, those who are lost, who have no hope. And that's who Christ is presented to this evening. Christ died for sins. I think it was mentioned a couple weeks ago, our brother Bissett was with us, and he said the message, Christ died, is awful news. And so it is. But Christ died for sins is the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed to men. Christ died for sins. So unless he died for sins, he didn't come here to show you a good example, although he was. And he didn't come to offer to men and women encouragement, although he did. He came to die for sinners. Are you a sinner? Are you saved? A lot of people, they put emphasis on a cross. This weekend, Easter, millions of people have gone up and they've seen a cross. They've kissed a cross, maybe. Many people have visited Calvary, or they visited what we call Golgotha, places over in Israel. Many people have felt bad about their sins, maybe this weekend, maybe this week. But what they've maybe forgotten is the person who hung on the cross, Christ. Because without him, what does it matter, the cross? What does it matter, the place? Your sins are not forgiven because of a place or because of a cross. They're forgiven because of the man who hung on the cross, Christ. God manifest in the flesh. You say, if a lot of religions, they'll say, it wasn't Christ that was there. Or that wasn't the Christ. Or maybe that man who was there, he wasn't God. If it wasn't God, then there's no reason to have a meeting tonight. There's no salvation. If Christ didn't die for sins, if it wasn't him there, then there's no salvation. If you can achieve it, if you can earn it, if you can meet your own need, then why did he die? Why did he die if it's something you can take care of? In your own mind, in your own reasoning, that I'm going to come up with, yep, it's all I need. Something I can do. If that's the case, why did he die? You ask yourself that. Andrew's already spoken of the verse. He said, the soul that sins, it shall die. A lot of men and women, they're waiting until a coming day when the judgment will be exacted on them. They'll find out, did I make it or didn't I? Well, what's going to be my punishment? You can tell them, the judgment's already been given out. If you've sinned, you're going to die. If you've sinned, your portion is to be in hell, is to be separated from God. You don't have to wait for any coming day to find that out. It says it in the Bible. You don't have to wait for someone to tell you how good or bad you've been. All have sinned. All have fallen short. So what does it come to terms here with? Why did Christ die? Why did he shed his blood? Why did he give his life? When we read those verses, why did he do it? If we're without strength, if we're sinners, if we're helpless, see, that's why. Those verses, when we were yet without strength, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He was buried. It's the last place you would expect to find God, in a tomb. Wouldn't it be? You think the creator of the universe? You think the very savior of the world? Two men took him down, and it says they laid him in a tomb. It'd be the last place that you would expect to find God. Why was he there? Why was the proof there that he died, that he was buried? You think the tomb there, the fact that he was in a tomb, that he gave his life, that he died, that he was found in a tomb, was proof that he died. No one ever argues that he died. It's always about the time that it happened, or the day, or when and where it was. But that he died, he was found in a tomb. Christ died for sins. That was the fact. The proof? He was found in a tomb. I think those next verses there, we often just take it for granted. He rose again. Maybe that means something to you. Maybe it doesn't. What does it mean if he didn't rise again? What if the women in the morning come to the tomb and the stone's still there? What if it's still in the place? What if the seal is still set? What if he doesn't rise again? Then the cross has no meaning. There's no point in having a cross. It doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because that means death is still victorious. That's a great fact of life. I think we often say that the two facts are that you paid taxes last week, but you're going to die one day. That all men will die. That's a fact. Proof of that, you go down to a cemetery. If Christ didn't rise again, then death still has a hold on us. But because he rose again, he defeated death. I can tell you of many individuals who bear my last name, maybe, or individuals I've known, even some my own age, who have died. I'll take you and show you proof that they've died. I'll show you a tombstone. You say, well, what's the proof that they might live again? Because on that tombstone it says they're saved. It says that Christ died for them. Not because of anything they did, but because of something he did. Christ died, and though they have died, they will live again. It's a truth. It's a fact. Because Christ died. When we read of my Savior rising again, you read in Ephesians 2, it says that when we were dead in our sins, that when we could do nothing for ourselves, if all you needed was a Band-Aid, or maybe you needed a little healing, or a fixer-upper, then there'd be no reason to offer eternal life this evening. We would just offer you a little pat on the back and say, get going. But Christ died and he rose again, never to die again, so that he can offer life to you. It's the only thing that you need. You're dead, we read in the Bible, in your sins. The soul that sins, it will die. So what can you do to have eternal life? You can't do anything. I think that's a question they ask in the Bible. What can I do to inherit eternal life? You believe on the one who rose again. Christ died, that's a fact. He was buried, that's the proof. He rose again, and he was seen of 500. Maybe it doesn't matter to you whether he was seen of 500, whether he was seen of 1,000, 10,000. You know what sometimes it comes down to? Is if you don't see it for yourself, it doesn't matter. You say, how am I going to see this man who lived 2,000 years ago? What does it matter if he was seen of 500 men? I've never seen him. You hold in your hand the very receipt, right here. Christ died. You say, what's my proof? It's right here in the Bible. God's Word. Is that proof enough for you? Maybe it's proof enough for some people, not for all. There are a lot of men who have followed myths and fables and what we would call fairy tales. They've done things in isolated parts of the world where two or three have seen them. This man, he died in front of a whole city. He was seen of over 500 men when he rose again. It's all kept here. What does the Bible say? We write these things unto you that you might know. What's the proof that God loves you? It's right here. For God so loved the world. Does that include you? What's the proof that you can be saved? Well, what proof is there that you can be saved? The Bible says so. What does the next verse, what does the next part of the verse say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's proof there. What's the proof that you can know? Can you know because of your own self? You say, no, it's too much. I could never know something like that because I'm just not a very confident person. I'm not very sure even when I do simple things. When I have to state something in school or when I have to tell something in front of people, I'm never sure. I'm never confident. I could never be sure and know that I'm saved. No, you couldn't be if it depended on you. If it was all up to you, you could never be sure. You'd never know because you're a sinner. But that's the good news of the gospel, is that all your dependence, all your hope of heaven, your salvation doesn't depend on you. It depends on Christ. And what do we read? Christ died for who? Who would you have wanted him to die for? Anybody else but sinners? If you're a sinner, he died for you. You believe that, you have life. You believe that, you know salvation. There's no doubt. You can have, you say, oh, people doubt and people aren't sure. There's a lot to doubt in life. Maybe that's true, because there are things that we can just never be sure of. But God has spoken to us in his word. You read it right here. You read it every Sunday, maybe throughout the week. And he tells us in his word that he died for sinners. Is that you? Is that you? Did he die for you? Are you a sinner? It's a simple message. You don't have to mix words or multiply examples or that. Are you a sinner? Because a sinner and a savior, you know, they always meet. What is the proof that he's willing to save you? Is there proof? When you say, him that cometh unto me, he won't turn away. He that believeth on the Son has life. And if you don't believe him, you don't have life. That's what we've been saying tonight. You know, sometimes we can talk to you in person. Sometimes we preach like this. And there are many people here. You know, we've known you for so long. Some of you are half my age. Some of you are older. Some of you are kids, and you think, you know, these are matters that maybe deal with another time. I'll wait a little while. In our Sunday school class today, we talked about the Passover. And it was something that was kind of celebrated this week, so many years later. Andrew even referred to the passage there in Exodus 12. And we talked about them putting the blood on the door. And someone in the Sunday school class, they said, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't put the blood on the door? It almost seems an absurdity to even a Sunday school class. To which we reply, there are still people in this meeting tonight, and every one of you, you come to a gospel meeting. There's no, as we would call, visitors here this evening. Sit through a Sunday school class. You go through your week. Your parents are Christians. And still you'd say, you know what? The blood of Christ, it's not good enough for me. You know, we often sing that we're going home to heaven, a lot of us. And we'd say, will you go? Would you believe? There's a receipt that's been left this evening. There's a proof of facts that Christ died, that he rose again. That's all I'm resting on. I'm going to heaven tonight. I'm absolutely sure of it, not because of anything I've done, but because Christ died for sins, died for my sins, and he rose again, and I have life because he lives, not because of anything I've done. And he told it to me in this word. We tell you, don't crumple up the receipt and throw it away. Believe it. Believe what he said to us in his word. Think of what the Lord Jesus said. He said, blessed are they who have not seen yet have believed. He said that to a man who we often call Doubting Thomas. It's never said in the Bible that he doubted. He said he had little faith or he had no faith. Maybe you're faithless this evening. Maybe it's something that you just can't, you're going to struggle for the rest of the night and for the rest of the week thinking, can I be sure of this? Can I know it for a fact? Say, yes, you can. Because it is facts. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. And he was seen. I'm depending on that. He did it for me to get to heaven. You believe it, you have life. It's as simple as that. Don't go on doubting. Don't go on wondering if you have it or not. We don't doubt a lot of things that we take for granted in our daily life because we have proof of them. We have proof of the facts. So don't doubt the facts anymore. They're written for you. They're written that you might believe and that you might know that you have eternal life. Don't doubt it any longer. Don't wonder if what you have will take you to heaven. Don't be unsure about it. Because faith is based upon facts. It's not based upon something that we just made up out of the sky. It's not something that we're assuming might bring us to heaven. It's something we know. It's the gospel that Christ died, he died for sinners. If you're a sinner, he died for you. You believe that. You put your trust in that. You believe what the receipt says. The receipt says it's finished, that it's done. You believe that, you have life. You say, no. Crinkle that receipt up, throw it away, and you say, it's not true. And you don't have life. Simple as that. Believe it. I've believed it. I have eternal life. There are many here who have believed it, and we're going to heaven. And the only reason we get up here and tell you is because we want you to go with us. We want you to be there. It doesn't matter if you're 8, doesn't matter if you're 40, 50, doesn't matter if you're in your teens. We want you to be in heaven. We want you to have salvation. And you can have it because it's a finished work. It depends upon nothing that you can do. You put your faith in what's already been done. Put your faith in the facts. Because there's no one else who has said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No other man has said that. No other man but Christ. And he's the one who died. He was found in a tomb. He rose again. He was seen. You see that. You believe that. And you have life. Trust him tonight. Right.